Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. We're going to continue our study of the apostles. We only have a couple more lessons. But tonight we're going to talk about the second James that was chosen by Jesus to be a disciple. And I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 6 to get us started tonight. Look at verse 12, and then we'll read down through verse 16. Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, whom he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. I want you to just notice in verse 12, it's not part of our study tonight, but notice Jesus had a decision to make. I don't know how many disciples that he had, maybe 50, maybe 100, maybe more than that. But of those, however many he had, the Bible says that he chose 12. And I want you to notice what he did before he made that decision. He spent the night in prayer. Now, this was the Son of God. Son of God, all man. That's the Son of God. And yet, before he made this decision, he spent the night in prayer. Don't you think if we have decisions to make that we ought to spend some time in prayer before we make them? I mean, if Jesus had to do it, don't you think that we need to do it as well? Every decision that we make, we ought to ask the Lord what his will is, because he has a will. We ought to ask what his will is, ask him to show us what that is, and then be obedient. Don't ask him if you're not going to be obedient. I mean, if you're not going to listen to what he says, then just don't pray about it, because you'll get in more trouble if you pray and he gives you an answer and you ignore him than you would by not praying. But as a Christian, he has a will for every decision we make, and if Jesus needed to pray before he made this decision, we for sure need to pray before the decisions that we make. So he spent the night in prayer. He called his disciples unto him. And again, don't know how many there were, but of all the disciples, he chose 12. And one of those was this apostle named James, the son of Alphaeus. We've already talked about the other apostle who was named James. James, the brother of John. John and James, fishermen, sons of Zebedee, the sons of thunder. Remember, they were the ones that wanted to call down fire from heaven to burn up some people. They were the ones who came to Jesus and said, hey, we'd like to sit on your right hand and your left hand in the kingdom. But in Mark, this second James is called James the Less. And some Bible scholars think he was called James the Less because he was shorter than the other James. And so they called James, the brother of John, James, and they called this guy James Jr. or James the Less. Some of you might not know this, but Larry Maxwell has a son named Larry. And when he was coming here, we called Big Larry Larry and Little Larry Little Larry to distinguish between the two. And that's probably what Jesus did when he called these two men that were named James to be apostles. He said, well, this will be James, this will be Little James, James the Less, to distinguish between the two. But I want you to notice a couple things. He was selected by Jesus out of many disciples. He was chosen to be part of this special group of 12 men. Again, one of them was a traitor, and we'll talk about Judas in a couple weeks, but one of them was a traitor, but he was one of these 12 men. He was chosen by Jesus to be a member of that group. I'll remind you tonight that we also were chosen by Jesus. We were chosen by him to be one of his children. We were chosen by him to be part of God's family. We were chosen by him to have a home in heaven. And in fact, and some people get into trouble when they talk about this and they use the word predestination. And they said, well, there's some people that were predestinated for heaven, there were some people predestinated for hell. That's not true. God wants everybody to go to heaven. And when the Bible talks about election, I'll tell you how the election works. I read this, and it supposedly came from not a Bible scholar, but just somebody that really understood what the Bible meant when it talked about election. He said there was an election. God had one vote. Satan had one vote. Of course, God voted for me to go to heaven. Satan voted me to go to hell. I had the deciding vote. And I voted to go to heaven. And we vote to go to heaven when we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. And so if you've heard people teach, well, there's some people that just God just chose them to go to hell before they were even born. That's not true. Now, God knows, He knows what we're going to choose. But every single person has a free will that God has given to them. They have a chance to receive Christ as their Savior. The Bible says the sum of the Holy Spirit is dealt to every person. And I believe faith is dealt to every person. And every person has enough faith to believe in Jesus Christ if they choose to do so. And so James was chosen. So were we. Now, again, if this guy was a little short guy, I want you to notice that his physical characteristics did not affect the choice that Jesus makes. And I'll just remind you, based on that tonight, that our talents, our looks, our abilities, our smarts or lack of same, makes no difference to Jesus. Now, I think we ought to be the best that we can for God. But He does not pick and choose based on who we are, what we've done, or how we look, or what kind of talents we have. God can use every single person. He made you. He made you for a purpose. That purpose somehow is involved with His kingdom. Now, so His desire is that every person gets saved, and then they fulfill that purpose in His kingdom for which they were made. And I've known some people, and you have too, that are shy. They don't think they have much talent. They don't think they can do much for God. But and sometimes those are the people who have a greater impact for God than the talented, full of ability kind of people, because they know they're not doing it on their own. They know they're doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, when we think we're something, oftentimes God says, okay, you think you're something? Let's see what you can do on your own. It's only when we realize that we are nothing and we have to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you, Holy Spirit, to help me. That's when He works through us. So again, I don't know if this James, was hindered by his height. I don't think he was. He realized he was chosen by God and chosen by Jesus and was one of His apostles. Now, I just want to take a couple minutes, because we've not done this yet in our study, but I just want to take a couple minutes and talk about what the Bible means when it uses the word disciple. Disciple. The New Testament word for disciple is learner. And in the context of the New Testament, the word learner is always in conjunction with a teacher. And so a disciple is somebody that is learning from a teacher. And in the case of Jesus' disciples, He was the teacher, and they were learning from Him. The Bible mentions seven different things that characterizes a disciple. First of all, it says in Mark 3:14 that a disciple must be with Jesus. And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him and that He might send them forth to preach. And so they were with Him physically. They were with Him in person, the disciples of Jesus Christ. Second of all, they were sent forth by Him. We read it in that verse, Mark 3:14. Also in John 20:21, He said, as My Father has sent Me, even so send I you. He sent them out into the world. He sent them to spread the gospel to every single person. And so that was a characteristic of a disciple. Number three, a disciple obeys His word. John 8:31. If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed. Now, if you're going to be a learner of a teacher, you need to be obedient to that teacher. And Jesus said to His disciples, look, if you're going to be My disciple, you've got to obey My word. You've got to listen and you've got to obey it. Four, a disciple is one whose life is characterized by love. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." Again, Jesus exhibited that love. He taught his disciples how to love by example. And he said, the characteristic that people are going to, and this is one I think they're going to notice the most, is that you love one another. Number five, a disciple bears fruit. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. And so he said, I'm sending you out, I'm sending you forth to spread the gospel. And remember, these were the guys that the world testified, they turned the world upside down. And as they went, he said, you're going to bear fruit. Now again, the disciples' responsibility and our responsibility, we're not responsible for the bearing. We're responsible for the planting. The Holy Spirit is responsible for the bearing, for the bringing forth the fruit. Our job is to just plant the seed, plant the word. Number six, a disciple is one who forsakes all. And Jesus taught on a couple of occasions. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. If you're going to follow me, you have to give up some things. And then a disciple puts Jesus first. He said in Luke chapter 9, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. A man came to Jesus on that occasion and said, I want to be your disciple, but first let me go bury my father. And there's some discussion, the biblical discussion is we don't know if his father was dead or not. He was asking Jesus, perhaps, could I wait until my father dies and I wrap up all his affairs and then come be your disciple? And Jesus said, no, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to come now. You need to put me first. And so those seven things, again, we can't be physically with Jesus as the disciples were, but we can be a disciple in the other six categories. We can bear fruit. We are sent by him. And so of all the disciples, he picked these 12. Now, a couple other things. I want you to notice that James, the less, James the son of Alphaeus, was faithful. He was there at the end. He was there in the upper room that night that Jesus appeared to the disciples when everybody was there but Thomas. And he stayed. He did not leave. He did not quit. He stayed until Jesus empowered them, as he said he would, by sending the Holy Spirit after he ascended into heaven. And again, we need to use him as our example. Don't quit until it's over. Don't quit until you say, preacher, when's it going to be over? Well, it's going to be over either when you die and go to heaven, or it's going to be over when we hear the trumpet sound and the voice says, come up hither, and we rise in the air to meet the Lord. The bell or buzzer is not going to ring until one of those two things happen. Jesus said there's no, I think it was Jesus, that maybe not, and I can't remember, Laurel or Jeff, you have to help me out. There's no disdain, there's no discharge in this war. The king, all right. But it applies to our Christianity. There is no discharge in this war. There is no retirement in this Christian walk. We walk till the bell rings. We walk till the buzzer buzzes. And again, it buzzes and rings when we die or when we're raptured. Until then, God wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful. He wants us to be faithful. And there's not a person that can't be that. We all can't do everything. We all can't do some things. We all, maybe some of us can only do one thing well. Maybe there's some people that can't do anything well. I don't know of anybody like that, but maybe by chance there is. No, don't point your finger at yourself. I think everybody can do something. And the thing that everybody can do is be faithful. Be where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, ready to do what you're supposed to do. Every single person can be faithful. Every single person can stick to it until it's done. And I know sometimes in our Christian walk we get tired. I know sometimes we'd like to take an extended vacation. And I think it's, and by the way, I think people ought to take vacation. I think you ought to get away. Even Jesus said to his disciples and to the apostles, come on and rest for a while. I don't think he expects you to go 24-7, you know, 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, and not rest. I think he expects us to take care of the bodies that he's given us. But there's no extended vacations. There's no semi-retirements. There's no getting out of the work. There is something, and I've often said this, and I believe it with all my heart. If you are still here on God's earth, and you're a Christian, he has you here for a purpose. If he was done with you, if you had done everything that God wanted you to do, if you had impacted every person that he'd wanted you to impact, I mean, talking about your children and your grandchildren and your friends, other members of your family, I mean, if he was done with you, he would take you to heaven. He loves you. He wants to be with you. But the fact that you're still here means that he has something that you have to accomplish. And again, doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, how talented we are, how much personality we have, it doesn't matter. God can use everybody. And he's got a plan for everybody. He's got a purpose for you being here. And so while you're here, stay at it. While you're here, keep your nose to the grindstone. I can use all the, you know, colloquialisms that I can think of to make the point, don't quit. Don't stop. Keep making progress. Keep doing what you're supposed to do. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Well, I can give you a couple things. You need to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday school. You need to stay in your Bible. You need to pray. You need to tell people about Jesus. You need to be a good steward of your money and your talents. I mean, I can, if you don't know what to do, I could give you a list tonight, seven or eight things that keep you pretty busy the rest of your life. And you don't need me to give you a list because you know them as well as I do. But again, we can use an example, and we don't know much about this guy. Don't know much, but he stayed till the end. He bore fruit. He was sent by Jesus Christ. When the Bible talks about Jesus sending forth the disciples and sending forth the apostles, he sent them two by two, and they went out and they told people about Jesus, and they saw people saved, and they saw people baptized. James the short guy, was one of those disciples. He was one of those apostles. He went out and he did what Jesus told him to do until the very end. Until he died, he was busy for the Lord. And again, when we look at his story, again, we know who his father was, but we don't know very much else about his life other than he was faithful and he served God and he was a disciple of Jesus Christ. We need to look at people like him and say, you know, I may not be an apostle, but I can sure be as faithful as James was. I can stay in the fight until the end, until the bell rings, until the buzzer buzzes. I can stay where I'm supposed to be and do what I'm supposed to do to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can all do that. And I hope we use this little study tonight about this one who, again, we don't know very much about, to encourage us to do that. Thank you for being here tonight. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer and be dismissed.